Hi there, thanks for joining me. I am Jess Packy for OLEcast.com, your Northwest entertainment source.
All right, I'm Kessler Blair. I play the drums. I've been with Raised from Red Flags for, what, 2 months now?
Yeah, not too long.
Then I play music up at Grace Harbor College in the jazz band there, and I also play in another band called Slightly Arise, so I'm pretty busy.
Yeah, cool.
All right, my name's Ryan Baker. I play guitar and sing and write songs in Raised from Red Flags. And I have been in a couple of different musical groups, Circle Drive, Out of the Harbor, Say You're Too Late from when I was younger, one of my first bands that we got started. We actually were a joke band that started out as Dylan and the Furniture. It was the stupidest name ever, but it evolved into a better band. And this band, of course, which we're doing now.
How long have you been with this band?
We've been doing it since 2009. Me and Pete, being the founding members, started in as like an acoustic little coffee shop and open mic thing, and evolved in something much bigger. And we've had a couple different lineup changes, and this one feels like the most comfortable and right for the formula that we were trying to produce with our music. And yeah.
Okay.
All right. My name is Pete Sandona. I play bass. I write some songs and I sing some songs as well, and I do a lot of the booking, although these guys do a lot too, but I do that and take care of like the accounting and
have you been
things
in
like that.
Any other bands?
I was in a hip hop funk band in Olympia called Collective Love Unlimited. And I've played in some random projects here in Olympia. I'm originally from Rockford, Illinois, and I've played in bands there too as well.
Cool. All right. Here you go.
I'm Nick Valentine, and I play the guitar in Razors and Red Flags. And I started with the group a few years ago. After their hiatus was over, I got called up to see if I wanted to play. I had previously been in a band with our other singer, Georgia. She fronted a band with me a few years ago. And
you should have got Powerball the Wolf again.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Powerball the Wolf.
Powerball the Wolf, Nick.
And it was cool. We kind of had some fun regionally. And other than that, I've been in a few different bands, but doing a lot of music for television. I do some theme songs for some hunting and fishing television shows, and as well as some TV commercial work for like Washington State Tourism and things like that. So, yeah, music is a huge, huge part of my life for sure.
Cool. That's interesting. Like, local channels or?
Yeah, you know, Roots Sports Northwest. There's a show on there called Horns and Hooks, and it's hosted by an avid outdoorsman who lost one of his arms.
Oh, wow.
And so he overcomes a lot of stuff, and he reaches out to like disabled hunters, kids especially. Works with a group called Youth Outdoors Unlimited, where they take kids on their own outdoor adventures of their own, and they make special accommodations for kids that have, you know, physical challenges. So it was a really cool organization to work with. You know, and I look forward to doing more of that stuff in the future. I'm kind of working on getting to a point where I can have my own home studio to work on that stuff again. So,
very cool.
But in the meantime, we're really busy. Razors and Red Flags is a full-time commitment, and there's a lot of new music that we've been working on. And I mean, Ryan, you know, has been writing like crazy, and there's so much stuff, and we're like, we want to get it done and get it out there, and we already have music coming out as it is, so it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, we're expecting an album in December and on vinyl format, and it seems like we already have our other album ready to go for the studio and ready to rock on that too. So it's a good.
You mean we have the material ready?
Yeah, we're ready to go into the studio and record. Is what I mean.
Yeah,
and it's really looking very prosperous and fruitful, so it's a good little prolific area.
It's busy. And I think what attributes to that is the record that's coming out now was delayed several times. It took a lot of work, and it was a learning process too. And it was divided between two different studios. So there was a lot of challenges to getting that complete and out there. And
yeah, we recorded it in the spring of last year.
Yeah,
like half March and April of 2014.
Wow. Half at K Records and half at
Egg Studios
with Conrad Uno, which was a delightful experience. I'd like to record with him again someday.
Yeah, Conrad was really awesome to work with. His studio is out of his house, but it's really top notch. And
we went on to 2-inch tape,
mm-hmm.
to try to capture some cool drum feel, stuff like that. So we did a little bit of experimenting, and I'd say it's like a very big and fuzzy record.
We learned a lot too.
Yeah.
Big and fuzzy.
Yeah.
That interesting. Yeah.
It's his interpretation of the tone of the record overall.
Big and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Big and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Great selection.
Like let's just get that right
out there
it.
For people.
And what's the name of the record coming out? The album?
Wooden Ships and Iron Men.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's our second.
Yeah, it's our second full length.
And what was the name of the first one?
Harbor Hits, and then, we kind of actually recorded some of the material on that first album before with a different lineup, and then it never...
Fireworks!
I think a local foundry exploded.
We never really got it out there, and then... And then Ryan and Georgia had a kid, and we went on hiatus for a while, and then kind of rallied the troops again and got Nick back into it with us, and decided to record all that stuff,
right.
And called it Harbor Hits Rehashed.
Someday,
I'm gonna put a sword to your eye and out the back of your skull.
do a local show in Aberdeen, Washington at the Neighborhood Pub. It's the
also old, known as the Polish Club.
Yeah, the old Polish Club that used to be there. They do a bar downstairs, and it usually has a big stage upstairs, but it's actually localized in the front of the bar. They don't lease out the stage upstairs, so we're in the bar area. So,
which I kind of like, because it's when cool. The place gets packed, you're like just like right up there with the crowd, like energy wise, it's fun.
Yeah, it's nice to have, you know, an intimate feel to the show. It feels like an old like roadhouse or something like that, where just everybody's ready to hang out and have fun.
Yes,
that's the big one so far.
What's after that?
We don't have anything booked right now until January. We're playing up at the Blue Moon in Seattle.
Right.
We just played there actually like maybe 2 weeks ago as well.
Very cool.
If people keep up with us on social media, they'll see that some stuff will get added between, you know, then and now. I'm sure of it.
Awesome. No doubt about it.
Yeah, we have a couple of shows in mind, and we're setting up some stuff for the next few months.
We're working on trying to get back in the studio in a couple months.
Yeah, we want to play at the college. We want to get out there into some different venues. We kind of have fun going to interesting places to play, like, you know, Roslyn, Washington, and Leavenworth. You know?
Yeah, we did the Munchen House over there in Leavenworth, and it was crazy. There's a bunch of old Lederhosen and
go to some cool little bars all over the place between here and Oregon and it's all over.
Kind of toured or
yeah.
Last summer we toured a little bit, if you could call it that. I mean, we played all around. We went down to Eugene and played, and like there in Salem and Corvallis, and then we went out east. Played in Roslyn and Leavenworth,
Spokane.
And Spokane, we played. Yeah,
we played a lot of shows.
Like every weekend, it seemed like
we had two or three shows a weekend.
Yeah. So, what was the number? Like 70 shows in that year?
Roughly 70 shows. So then were the private and public shows that we did. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's with everybody, you know, working, going to school and stuff like that full time. We were hitting it really. This year we did not hit it that hard.
No, not quite so much.
Not feasible. Twice in a row.
So what do you guys do for day jobs? Tell me a little about yourselves.
Well, I am a full-time student. I'm a music major up at Grace Harbor College, and then when I have time, and then there's plenty of work to go around, I work for a construction company in Aberdeen, Quick Brothers.
I work at a local hardware store in Montesano, Washington. It's called Dennis Company.
I know them.
Do you? Yeah. They've been around 110 years, so
right.
It's a fun job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a you get all sorts of people in there, and you do all sorts of stuff, so it keeps you busy. Yeah. They're great.
I'm currently unemployed.
Me too.
But hopefully I'll be gainfully employed soon.
Yeah,
he's got upper management written all over him.
Right? Yeah, right.
He's a real good guy.
Yeah, all right. Well, you're a musician.
Yeah.
He is actually, you know, a huge part of the because there has to be that business side, you know?
He has a full-time job as the booking, I mean, and the face behind the scenes of
I would entrust
razors.
Him with a lot of different operations.
So he's pretty busy being
We
unemployed.
Entrust Pete to have people skills.
And he's the calm voice at the end of the phone.
Awesome. So call Pete if you want to book him.
Exactly, yeah.
Numbers on the
Facebook, yeah.
And you?
Oh. So, I am a front desk supervisor for a guest house, and I also am a supervisor for a 55-space RV park. So, I'm like the living embodiment of the Trailer Park Boys. I'm Jim Lee.
Start calling you Bubbles.
So, no, but you know, I really enjoy it, actually. I work really closely with a great group of business people there, and they're doing a lot to develop like the Montesano area,
right.
And I'm happy to be with them. And it's, you know, like as a musician, you cycle through a lot of different day jobs sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And this has been one of my best experiences in a while, and I have, you know, I feel comfortable there, so it's good. I like that business.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about personalities. So Ryan writes.
Pete is the late guy. He's a bass player. I don't think it pertains to that though. I think he's just late, kind
of. Sleepy Pete.
Sleepy Pete. That's what we call him.
Right. So like it's always.
Nick's the sensitive one.
I can dish it out, but I can't take it. Yeah. That's my big problem. You know.
You have to hide the cookies from.
Me. That'd be me.
And Kessler.
I'm always bringing food or raiding their kitchen or something when I come over.
He's a growing boy.
Yeah, he's the young one.
So, yeah. Where did you guys get your inspirations from? Tell me a little bit about your music.
I really like to write storytelling songs. I listen to a lot of old country and 90s country when I was growing up. Unfortunately, I was tortured with that, but I took the good aspects of it away and some of the good artists with me. When I found rock and roll when I started getting older, it was at like a rejoiceful moment almost. But I kept the vein of the storytelling songs, and I like to add story, and lyrics is really important to me, so I try to tell stories with my songs, and I don't know, still maintain an edge. I'm kind of a pirate fiend and fanatic, so I like to throw a little history about pirates and songs and stuff that I like, you know, like to talk about and write about. So
when we first got together, I'd say Ryan is the founding member, because you played a couple of shows
as Razors and Red Flags
by yourself.
Singer-songwriter style.
And I saw him at one of the local open mics in Olympia, at the Iron Rabbit, and he'd come in and play some Johnny Cash and some like old, you know, rock songs, rock and roll songs, and then he'd play like some of his original stuff. And after seeing him a few times there, I remember approaching him and just being asking him, you know, like, how much of that original stuff do you have? You know, oh, I got a lot of songs. He said, it's like you should play that instead because it's really good. And was like, kind of, in fact, if you want somebody to play bass, and then our former guitar player too, like, was like, yeah, I'm down, let's play some music. And we kind of, I mean, we started playing with him, and he practiced a couple times, and then he started calling us and being like, hey, I got this show, you guys want to play? Our intention actually wasn't necessarily to like start a band with him. We just wanted to like play some music with him because we thought he was a good songwriter. And it turned into, like, because we also had the other project, the hip-hop band I mentioned, but it turned out that he was getting more gigs than the hip-hop band was, so we started to become, like, a regular thing, and it's lasted this long. It's been 6 years almost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a solid vessel now.
Wow. I mean, we took some time off when Morrison was born, but.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we've been gaining a little bit of speed in the Harbor area, though, as far as, like, getting a little bit more people out at shows and stuff like that, and we're trying to get back to the Olympia shows where people are coming out and having fun with us, too, so make sure everybody knows that we're still around, so. Right. Done some fun shows at the 4th Ave and stuff like that in the past, so we're trying to get out to Olympia area again.
And I think just anybody that is looking for some real straight up, you know, rock music with, you know, with melody and
with an edge.
It's a full package. It's very organic in that way, and I think that, you know, there's people out there that are craving that type of music, you know. So definitely, if you're a fan of guitar, you know, mm-hmm. come on out.
Yeah,
and there's lots of cool vocal stuff happening. It's a fun night, and we kind of cover a lot of ground, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
There's something for everybody. Absolutely.
All right. I've been walking in the heat all day long. Don't tell me I'm the son of God. I can really use a drink, but my water turned weak. Call the Apostle Paul. They're gonna tell you not to look. Be your burning wheel, looking down on you. I'll be the
with some of our girls.
Sounding good. We got a little couple of samples.
We look for you. Let's see. You're on Reverb Nation. Where else
are
you?
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
iTunes.
Bandcamp. Amazon. Spotify.
There's some is it the Lonely Oak Radio?
Yeah, we're on some like online
365 radio. Lonely Oak Radio. We get played occasionally in the garage at 104.7 in Aberdeen. I think we're also
but you can stream everything just on SoundCloud.
Yeah, we have a .com too, just razorsandreflex.com right now. Goes to our Reverb Nation.
You'd probably find even stuff that like by TV on there as well.
And samples. You can find us on Rock Therapy Records.
We of course. We're going to talk about that, of course.
Their label.
They have been
pushing us, promoting us so and pushing our stuff out there and kind of believing a little bit in the music, and it's kind of what something we need a little bit of organization in that aspect, because we can't do it all, you know what I mean? We write, but you know it's nice to have someone out there, you know, getting it out there to the kids.
The distribution is tough, because it's all, not only is it kind of like a transitional period in the business, you know, it's primarily digital. So, like, where do you go with the physical, you know, medium? So we went with vinyl. You know, so we're out there in all the digital channels, but, you know, we had to put something together like a physical product, and that was a huge thing for us, you know, to do. It's fun to have that, you know, look back on that and say, hey, we actually made a record.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm still old school. I like to have physical.
Yeah.
I don't like to download.
You can pre-order that record at rocktherapyrecords.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the place, yeah. And I think it's early December for it, so it's going to be
just
nice
in
to
time
hold
for
it.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Just
in time for Christmas.
So if you could play anywhere in Olympia, where would you play? What's your favorite venue there?
If we could play somewhere in Olympia?
Yeah. What's your favorite venue in Olympia?
I'm
personally not too familiar with any of the venues up here.
We've played one venue that we hardly ever get to play ever.
Yeah.
The Rhythm and Rye. That's a really good room.
We played there when they first opened, and we haven't played there since. Now it's even nicer because they changed the stage and updated the sound system.
That would be fun to go back there, and I think that, you know, it might be worth a revisit, you know, on their behalf. You should come check us out.
They have shows weeknights.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get in to some places without, you know, having a proven record or being really good friends with whoever is in charge of that stuff.
It becomes a pretty tight community, and getting involved in it is sometimes difficult to do.
So with the over the last, you know, year or so, I think our favorite venues would have been in Seattle.
Yeah, I like McCoy's.
McCoy's
is
cool.
Gnarly. It's pretty cool.
It's very high energy.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of tight in there, you know, but it's pretty cool.
But there's some places in the Seattle area like the High Dive, Central Saloon.
Yeah.
That are just fun to play because the sound system is really dialed in, and a lot of times they have like kind of this revolving door of engineers, you know, kind of honing their craft, and so you get a different feel each time, and it's even better when someone is like really actively mixing your live set and boosting things and adding stuff, you know, to enhance the sound. It's a good experience. So that's, I really enjoy those types of gigs.
Slim's Last Chance up there was pretty
Slim's
good
Last
too.
Chance was
you know,
really cool.
They have a good,
yeah.
And people, the crowd that came out, you know, they always seem to, you know, like, be ready for a rock show. You know what I mean? They're the locals, but
it's just nice that there's
they're
a few
there
places.
To enjoy the music too.
Oh, yeah, it's just nice that there's a few places that are really dedicated to, you know, to having live music, and it's the focus, and it, you know, keeping that out there is so important.
I'm all for live music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The best.
Right?
And that's, you know, that's the other thing is we get to, you know, see so many other cool bands, you know, and the inspiration, and it just keeps you, you know, really engaged in what you're doing with your own music. It's very inspirational.
You definitely make a lot of friends among other musicians and other bands and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Plays in later on, other shows you do too.
Yeah, I mean, networking is great. We made some friends in Spokane with the Ambivalent from Southern California, and I still stay in touch with those guys, and
yeah.
we're planning on doing some shows with them. And Wyatt and all those guys are an awesome little guitar band, too, and they're doing stuff in Southern Cal, and they're trying to come up here, and we're trying to get back down there on the I-5 corridor, maybe a little bit this summer, next summer coming up, so... It's an exciting time, and Citizen Corvus in Seattle, they're a great, you know, emerging band and stuff that we've played with and enjoyed those guys too.
Nick's favorite Roman Citizen.
Adventures in Wonderland originally. We played in,
I took his jacket because it's mine.
those guys, they're a good band. They seem a little disorganized though.
Yeah, they're young. They're a young bunch of kids.
You see some interesting acts like The Mansion.
Oh, The Mansion! Actually, they're playing. I think with one of my friends' bands coming up in Spokane at the Big Dipper, and I talked about it.
We played a place in Spokane called the Checkerboard
Dive Bar.
Dive
Bar.
Totally
everything
cool though. There was like a fire pit out back, and everyone was hanging out, smoking, and having a good time.
Right.
Inside, the drinks were stiff, and they had this weird, like, multi-layered stage that was very skinny, but had, like, four levels to it. It was, like, very 70s-looking type bandstand sort of thing. And, you know, we got up there, you know, Lehman Mean, got our gear up there, played our set, tore our gear down. Next band, you know, did relatively the same thing. And this
about
other
midnight,
band started,
right?
Around, like, midnight, starts setting up their gear. And they've got, like, lasers and backdrops and,
and there was,
know,
like, a handful of people in the bar, too.
Yeah, maybe there's...
Roll-in metal cases and total roadshow
cases.
At a small bar, like,
so
probably
they get set up about 1:30
like
or 1:45.
Kiss concert was getting ready to go on.
Yeah.
They start playing about at last call, genuinely. Like, I mean, it was so late.
1:45-ish.
Yeah, it was crazy.
About
and,
15 minutes at...
You know, like, it was just... It was bizarre. It was like Spinal Tap was going on.
I believe we did ski shots that night. Where it's glued to a ski. All the shots. Yeah, that was
There's
a fun
always
night.
A plethora of drinking opportunities. You know, when you go out to play these gigs.
Oh yeah, they feed you the booze, so they don't have to pay the money, right?
We're cheap.
They hope you get drunk enough, you'll forget you went there for money.
Yeah, it usually works.
We have to get Kessler in on waiver.
Yeah, he's the young guy. He's the 20-year-old in the band,
yeah.
So he's always wearing the wristband.
I guess it should be, like, clarified that Kessler is, like, you know, the new member, and we had a previous drummer, Maynard Barnum, who recorded with us. Great guy. Awesome guy to be in a band with. And, you know, he dedicated a lot of his time and energy into the project. And, you know, ultimately just what happened was there was kind of a musical disconnect that happened, you know, and... Which is just something that you, I guess the more you do this, you kind of accept that sometimes things are going to work or they're not going to work. So we parted ways with Maynard, but he has this record, you know, it's a total testament to his, you know, his dedication. He did a good job. So we wish him the best, but we got the new guy.
Yeah, with this record, I definitely have some big shoes to fill. I have a lot of music to learn, and I don't know if I'm playing all the songs 100% like he does. I know I'm definitely not, but I try to play the songs for what they're meant to be and work with the band and not just walk all over the
Yeah, Kessler's definitely, he's definitely injected some new energy into the band, and you can definitely feel it, and it'll translate on stage, I think, a lot more, too.
Yeah.
Definitely texting us at 7:30 in the morning when he's heading to school and we're still sleeping in bed. And he's like, did you call George Thorogood's management to get on with the DNR Theater in Aberdeen?
Yes.
Did you call George Thorogood's like 3 weeks out from this show?
And he's ambitious.
Yes, we'll email these guys. But alas, we were thwarted by who? Thunder Pussy? Is that the name that they went with? They went with Thunder Pussy.
I think it worked out all right.
Maybe we just had to need a better name.
Facebook today, didn't they?
Something like that.
We tried. Maybe Mr. Yonich will have us open for, you know, Great White or one of these bands that they have come through.
Book us.
Yeah, we'll play for 20 minutes. No problem.
Maybe we'll open for AC/DC. Let's dream big, right?
Right. It could happen.
We're just happy to be doing what we're doing, though. You know, so far it's been pretty self-sustaining. So.
Anything else you want to tell me?
Yeah, self-sustaining. We paid for to have our we paid for all of our studio time with money that we made in the mixing and mastering, as well as pressing the vinyl and
awesome.
And all that stuff. So it's been
do-it-yourself project.
Yeah, we haven't really had to invest any of our own money into it, so that's nice. So it's working at least in that regard.
And it sounds very easy when we say it like this, but it was
it's
it
a lot.
It's
70 shows.
Yeah, and a lot of other things too. Yeah.
And these guys would be like, "Yeah, how much money we should get this?" And I'm like, "No,
budget is budget.
These are sticky fingers."
And you know, I listen to other podcasts and I hear about like you know current musicians that you know have had you know good careers and. They're just barely scraping by on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, they're running super tight budgets, and it's like a huge, you know, reality check.
Right.
That there's no money ever in sight. So if you're not having fun, just you know, doing what you're doing, then you know it's not going to work out for you. So you know, I get just as much out of practicing and writing as I do with the live shows. It's a total you know cohesive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go Seminoles!
And Ryan Baker, he's a graduate from the University of Pancakes.
Yeah.
He majored in country gravy.
Yeah, majored. No, I minored in country gravy.
Yeah.
I majored in hotcakes.
Right. Baker can eat more food than anybody on the face of the planet before he gets on stage.
That's my feat.
Know.
Yeah, it's my superpower.
To eat a lot of biscuits and gravy before he sings.
It powers my abilities.
If there's food available at the show, oh man, we're on top of that.
Yeah, free chips.
Oh, dude, free chips for life.
That's in our charter. Free chips.
That's
all it takes to, yeah, what? Rider, charter? I'm a charter member of Free Chips Club. You can talk to my wife about that.
Speaking of your wife.
So
yeah,
you
we should probably
get
George
up.
Yeah.
Leave her from,
she's probably in there.
Duty. She's right. Part of the band too.
Yeah, there's another member.
Don't believe anything she says, though.
Yeah,
I'm gonna leave that part in there.
Look, it's recording right now. We were in a band together before this, and it was.
It ended in controversy.
It was a controversial ending. You want to put all this in there?
Sure.
No.
Sure.
Well, so I'll say this, that the ending was tumultuous enough that it had, you know, been a couple years before Georgia and I spoke again, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of, there was some bitter feelings. But a lot of that was just, you know, you're in your 20s and you're young and... Everyone's got all their preconceived notions and ideas of what's going to be one way or the other and how it should be, and it just turned out in this case that it was kind of divided into like three, you know, kind of three portions of thinking.
What was the name of that band?
That was called Powerbomb the Wolf. And the record was available on iTunes up until like a year or so ago.
Yeah.
It got taken down.
You guys were kind of popular in the harbor?
Yeah. And we played a lot. And it was, at the time, it was different because, you know, it was mid-2000s. And there's, you know, a female front person in the band, which wasn't happening a lot down there, and I don't think has happened a lot since. This is Grace Harbor, though, so it's a totally kind of different scene.
It's
a
much smaller music scene than Olympia,
yeah.
For sure.
So it's tight in, you know, musical community, but it's like really, to this day, kind of stuck in the grunge era, and a lot of it's just a lot of like Kurt Cobain tribute shows and this stuff that's kind of disinteresting to me now, like at this point, because it's just kind of like a broken record.
Brian took over for me.
Back in the day when we were playing, we actually played in a Battle of the Bands
competition.
The first
competition. Version David played against, our band.
Oh, I should have grabbed
it. And actually, when after we decided to kind of get back together, Ryan and I were talking about it, and we were like, well, we need a drummer and a guitar player, and I was like, what about Nick?
Georgia is here now.
Will Georgia play with him?
Yeah!
up.
Speak up.
Oh my god.
Or Georgia.
Georgia.
And you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
And how long have you been with the band?
Since as long as Nick has.
Yeah, like a few years.
3 years, four.
Yeah. And a band before that. Yeah.
Yeah. What other bands have you been in?
Same one as Nick. Just as long.
Powerbomb
the Wolf.
We're putting her on the spot, and she's completely out of her comfort.
Well, I just feel like it's already been answered. It's like just refer to Nick.
Well, no.
So when was Powerbomb the Wolf? It was like oh.
Let's go even before that. You've had some, you know, siblings that you've played with and stuff, things like that. Go ahead. No, she's like no.
I've jammed with my brothers. It was. Jamming with your brothers.
And I had a lot of the same friends in high school and saw a lot of the same bands. We were kind of brought up
influenced
in the same
by the same local scene, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, branched out and went our separate ways, and then, you know, we're only just kind of passing friends, you know, in passing back in the day.
He was too crazy 80s hair for me. He had long, big, curly, dyed black hair.
In a time when it was like the most unfashionable thing ever. Because
Limp
Bizkit was like on the radio. You know?
And he was like metal.
It was black
metal.
Hair?
No, I had. Well,
you had dyed at one point.
In
it was.
Powerball,
oh, I guess in high
yeah,
school it was blonde. Blondish.
My hair changes all the time.
It was long and big and curly. Like
I
a
used
big
to rat it
poof.
Out because I. So
the bigger the better.
This is supposed to be about Georgia.
Like reddish hair, right?
No, it's kind of just a dirty blonde.
Okay, so yeah, I'm trying
red
to
beard.
Picture that whole
only
black
because
hair
he doesn't
thing.
Shower.
I've had black hair. I've had a skunk stripe running down the middle of my head before.
Awesome.
I tried to walk across America. I fucked up again. No, but here's the thing. I had the jacked up 80s hair because. My big thing has always been guitar-driven music. It's, you know.
Right.
So, there was that huge 80s thing. Mojo.
Hi.
This is Morrison.
George's son.
And Ryan's.
Just mine.
God,
Morrison. Tricked me out. He's like, anyways, guy. Nick's hair was very intimidating back in high school.
Yeah.
The band that Georgia was in with me before this one, Powerbomb the Wolf, was definitely I don't know how to define it, but it was different than what was going on at the time. It was cool.
Yeah. We had something there for a while. Darwin even liked us.
We got love.
He doesn't like us
now. Yeah, now they like don't turn our phone calls.
Oh. We're losers now. It's kind of cool too because he's from Monty also.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Got a strong monosyllable.
Ryan and Peter on the.
Only side. I graduated from high school about 13 years later. So.
He's a baby. I didn't realize he wasn't 21. We went to like a bar show and he's like, I can't go, I can't drink. And I'm like, oh! I didn't
He has
know.
To like sit at the booth.
Yeah,
you know?
He has to like
yeah.
be babysat by the bouncer.
He
make sure he's not going to get injured.
I have to sit
drinks.
At the booth and hide and hope they don't card me.
Wear the under 21 bracelet.
From what I understand, you're allowed to sit there, like in the bar at least.
Yeah.
You only have like three
Mommy,
more months of
that
too, right?
That.
Yeah, I turned 21
remember
here in
that
February.
Show that
so.
You went to
interestingly, though, I played music with one of Kessler's cousins.
Yeah.
The
bouncy
house now.
Bouncy.
And so here I am playing like with a different generation of that family.
Oh yeah, it's coming full circle now.
Oh. And that's why Georgia wasn't here earlier.
Joys of motherhood.
Yeah.
Ryan's not doing his part.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Ryan.
God. He's like, oh.
So,
he's on Facebook. Distracted.
Yes. Social media. So, if you could play at any venue in Olympia, what favorite?
It's like the only place we play is the Fourth Ave. Where
yeah.
else do we play in Olympia?
McCoy's.
Rhythm and Rye.
You guys played there.
It's been a while
at,
since we played McCoy's. McCoy's is okay.
Lavoyer, haven't you?
I haven't. I missed that one.
Yeah, you did miss
McCoy's
that
McCoy's feels like the right fit when we play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like the peeps there. I did like this one show we did in Olympia. It was like a harvest dinner
oh, yeah.
thing. We played downstairs while everyone's upstairs.
Oh, at the...
And we had, like, yeah. like horse feed and stuff surrounding us, and that was actually kind of, like, the most cool, random yeah. and cool show we've probably done.
And then everybody
and we got fed really well.
After they, after that, everyone came downstairs and started, like, making requests and dancing. Yeah.
And they brought in was haystacks.
The...
And
some guy fell over the hay while we were playing. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was at the Olympia Farm and Garden.
Yeah.
They had, like, a big was... harvest.
But I really did like that thing. Night, and I liked that place, even though it wasn't a venue, and you can't really just go play there all the time. That was kind of an interesting one.
Sounds interesting.
One of the favorite places I've played personally, not with you guys, because I've only done... one show with you, but
well, kind of two.
Yeah, we did that the Lucky You Casino, but the last 2 years with Slightly Awry, I've played at the Holcomb Relay for Life, and there's a lot of people that draw out to that, and it's really fun to take part in it for yeah. sure.
I think we did well before we were in, me and Nick were in the band. You guys did a Relay for
oh,
Life
yeah,
at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, we did.
I was pretty involved in that when I worked here, and I actually got one of the bands from here.
Is it our rival?
Godfed Static.
Oh, yeah.
Like that
oh,
was
yeah.
our day. Back yeah. in back when
that
we were Powerbomb the Wolf, Godfed Static
bands.
Was one of the bands
yeah.
we played with a lot.
Right. And I got them to play, and they had to play at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and everybody
what?
Complained. Because like this thrash metal band is playing at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
And awesome. They were all like 15, so they probably
right?
loved it. Like, we get to be up all night.
Right?
Past our bedtime.
It was hilarious. And I was like,
I don't think they were that young. No,
they were.
I think they were like 17.
They played at the
Battle
of the Bands.
Yeah.
They were like
the
little heartthrobs. They had the little
right.
girlfriends.
Right, my daughter, she's your age, and so she.
Yeah, look, there's
cute,
this level of
so
coolness that we're incapable of achieving. Trust me.
I like
though.
That band. They were actually
yeah.
pretty fun to
nice
play
guys.
Shows with. They
right.
were.
Yeah.
Doing
I wonder what happened though.
One of them had one of them moved to Olympia yeah. and had a kid.
What happens?
And that happened to us too, so I understand.
Right.
But they need to. Get their stuff back together.
Right.
Like we did.
It's
we did it. They can do it. Yeah.
I met
possible.
Them at Arts Walk originally. I think.
In Olympia.
Arts Walk. Yeah. Arts Walk is this weekend.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You didn't get invited again.
Oh. Yeah. You gotta throw yourself out there more.
I hope it rains.
We want some county fair action. Where's our county fair action? That's what I'm
Throw yourself out there more. You
yeah.
need to market. Market, market, market.
We need to have money to market, I think.
No,
well,
I don't. Social media
no.
is free.
Or we just need to be more. Well, I just thought, like, paying someone to market because we're all lazy and we obviously don't do a good enough job. That's where the money comes in.
God.
Speaking of which, where are those flyers at, Nick?
Yeah, I know.
Did you print those flyers? You didn't fucking do the flyers?
I fucked up again.
I could do handwritten flyers again for my work.
Yep.
They're going to think we're...
Just print them off.
That's the funny thing is he made them. All you have to do is print them.
Oh my god.
See,
I don't have a printer.
Now here's
yeah,
the, this
printer.
Is the
no.
reason why the last band broke.
Maynard brought us a printer. Yeah, our last drummer brought us a printer and didn't set it up for us. So it's just sitting in there. We don't have a printer still.
It's always my fault.
Awesome.
Gotta have a fall guy.
Right. So any advice for other bands? Any, you guys are fairly young, but not really.
I just gave advice
don't
to.
Do drugs.
Well, I just gave advice. There's a guy I work with, and he's starting a band, and I think I gave him some really stupid advice. But I'm like, just have fun and
yeah.
and have it be about that from the beginning, and then you'll have you know more success at least from. Your band will get along longer, and you know what I mean. And you'll
there's
bring
no,
in the right people that likes you if you're just having fun putting yourself out there.
I can totally tell.
Yeah, I'm
not
right
about the money because
like,
you're not
no
going to
get
shit
because
for money.
You just enjoy every you know from that beginning you know point. It's all enjoyable from there. I think that like my advice is similar in that. I remember watching like the Lynyrd Skynyrd Behind the Music. And, like, hearing about them getting in, like, fist fights, like, in their dressing room, and, like, all this stuff, but they always kept it together, you know? Then they had the plane crash, and, like, they still kind of tried to keep it together. And I'm just like, okay.
So be professional.
Whenever I start to get, like, you know, thinking,
punch
you know, about
love.
Something too much, I just tell myself, like, it could be, you know, it could be worse, and at least you're in this band, and it's happening, you know?
And not
that's
punching
totally
each other.
And not playing, yeah.
But if you do punch each other, be professional
yes.
on stage and get over it.
Yeah.
For the
exactly. So
like Van Halen, those guys don't have any fun playing with each other, it seems
yeah.
like, these
I mean,
days.
That's the thing. It's like,
They're playing the same songs for the last 30 years.
So seriously, that it's something that's going to bother us. Like, you know, if you can do that, your band will last a long time. And keeping it together, just keeping it together is huge.
Just keep it together.
It's even now, the sound is still evolving. You know, it'll always will. It'll always keep changing. And there's always new stuff to discover. So if you keep it together, that's it.
Cool.
Compromise.
Compromise. Got it.
It's not a competition.
Or at least try it. No, it's called or at least try it.
Just try it.
Because we do a lot of requests in this band. Play it this way, sing it this way, do it that way. Just try it. If it sucks, then we'll throw the idea out.
Yeah, don't be too attached.
We also, I think we also feel like this is a community. And, you know, the other musicians that we meet when we're playing shows that we become friends with, it's a community and not a competition, you know. And that's, I think if more people had that, not a lot of people don't, but if everybody had that attitude,
we'd run into our share of.
it'd be more fun for everyone.
Cool.
Because we all support it. I mean, community supports each other and, you know, encourages each other instead of.
They bring each other out. And
yeah.
That's definitely
very important. All right. Well, I don't think I have anything else. Thank you very much.
Hey, no,
thank you. It was great to meet you.
Thanks
I
for
can't
having
wait
us.
To see you.
You've been listening to Just Kathy with Olicast.com. Thanks for joining me. Tune in next week for another entertaining local interview.